To go out to war against your enemies, and Hashem will deliver. Hashem will deliver biyodecha in your hand. Hashem will deliver him. Interesting. Hashem will deliver your enemy in your hands. And you will take a captive. You will take into your hand a Chevy. Okay. So you know the joke. Not a Cadillac. Not a Mercedes. All you're going to get from is just, you know, a Chevy. This generation, they don't understand what it means, this joke. A Chevy, just a not.
Yeah, which means you have to settle for less than what you're looking for. Exactly.
Okay, so, and by the way, this is talking about a Shirach. Okay, you're not getting over here a Mercedes in the Shirach. You're getting over here a Chevy. Vishavisa Shivyoi. And you Vishavisa Shivyoi, the captive, Rashi. Kiseitsi la Vilchama Bemuchemes Harishus Hakosav Vidaber. We are discussing Bemuchemes Rishus. Why? Shebemuchemes Eretz Yisrael. In the Mulcham of Eretz Yisrael, Ein Lemar Vishavisa Shivyoi, that you will take a captive. Shere Kivar Nemar, Loi Sechaye Kol Neshama. There are no captives. So therefore, we're not discussing the Mulcham of Eretz Yisrael. And notice Rashi, it's very interesting. When you hear someone quote this Rashi, they don't say this. They misquote it. And they said that we're dealing with the Mulchemes Rishus. We're not dealing with the Mulchemes Mitzvah. Rashi, very interestingly here, does not say Mulchemes Mitzvah. He does not call the capture of Eretz Yisrael a Mitzvah. Pile ploim. Okay, so fine. According to Rashi, we're not discussing the capture of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it means that we have already captured it, but it's still a Mulchemes Mitzvah. It's still a Mulchama of the defense of the land. Why does Rashi say Rishus and then concludes Mulchemes Eretz Yisrael? So you know you can argue the Rambam. This is a very, very popular topic, a very well known Rambam. The Rambam does not list in the Taryag Mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one as the Taryag Mitzvahs. And this is something which bothers Zionists to no end. How could the Holy Rambam, Shemipihu Anuchayim, omit the mitzvah of living in the land as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs? The Ramban and the Smag and the Smak and all of the Chinuch, they all, I don't know which ones, they're all like, what? It's a pasuk in the Torah, v'hischazaktem ba, v'yishavtem ba. There are numerous psukim that talk about Eretz Yisrael. How could the Rambam, when he lists the 613 in Sefer HaMitzvahs, omit Yishuv living in the land? Okay, you can answer what you want to answer. Okay, there are some really good answers, but look at Rashi. If you want to take this Rashi in isolation, and now look at Rashi, the big picture of what Rashi holds, you could definitely, it's not explicit, but you may be inclined to draw the same conclusion that Rashi holds, that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah. Or at least, I shouldn't say it's not a mitzvah, it's not a nice thing to say, it's not part of the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Because Rashi does not call it a Mulchemes Mitzvah. He says the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, instead of calling Mulchemes Mitzvah. And there are no captives. Okay, so that's just something to think about. That's interesting. Diak, Vishavis Hashivya, the next word is the Rabbis Kananim Shebesoicha, the Afal Pi She'ein Mishivas Umas. So this word, Vishavis Hashivya, you will take captives, is coming to be marred by the Kananim. They also included the Kananim Shebesoicha, the Afal Pi She'ein Mishivas Umas. Even though they are from the Shiva Sumais. So here we're dealing with the Mulchemes Rishus. Okay, it's not a Milchemes Mitzvah, not a Milchemes Eretz Yisrael, and you are going to capture a member of the Kena'anim. Now, had the Kena'ani been living in Eretz Yisrael, okay, by the way, before I can you hear me? Is it clear? It's going very good. So had this Kena'ani been living within Eretz Yisrael Mamosh, then you would have no choice but to kill him. Here, it's not Milchemes Eretz Yisrael. What kind of Milchama is this? It's really not clear. You're conquering America? Where are you going to conquer? You're conquering somewhere in Europe? You're conquering some islands? You're going to Mars? Where are you going? Where's the battle? In outer space? Underground? In the sea? In the ocean? What are you doing exactly? Whatever it is. And guess what? Guess who you discover in this Milchama? You discover a person who has a passport from Palestine. He is one of the Kena'anim. Had he been living in Eretz Yisrael, you would be obligated to kill him, because that's what the Torah says. So, but now that he's not living in Eretz Yisrael, he's living somewhere else, another part of the world, and you are conquering that part of the world, and you happen to come across him, you don't have to kill him. You have no obligation to kill him. You can let him live, and even not only can you let him live, you can even marry him. Now that's a shocking thing. It's a shocking thing that we're going to mamish mikotze elakotze. Had this person been living in Eretz Yisrael, there is nothing you can do for him. You have to literally execute him. Now there is a discussion, it's not so simple, because there is a discussion that if a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, a Kenani, and the Kenani says he's willing to accept upon himself the Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach, if we let him stay, there are two issues. Issue number one is if we let him live. Issue number two, even if we let him live, do we let him stay? You come to Eretz Yisrael, there's a Kenani. The Kenani is not going to give you a hard time. He said, okay, Hashem gave you this land, don't kill me. I believe in Hashem, I want to be Megaya. Do we accept Gerim from the Zayin Amamim? If we don't, do we not? If we do, if we don't, do we let him live? Maybe we have to kill him because the Midos, maybe he's a cancer. He's something which has to be, you know, there's something wrong with him. Or do we say no? Or do we say no? We let him live. We let him live. Now do we let him live? We hear the pasuk over here says that we can marry him. He gets married. This person, this Kenani, you can end up marrying this Kenani in this situation of her being an Eish HaSifas Toya. Okay, so these are all very big topics, and almost all these issues that I believe there's Machlokes Rishonim, or the Rambam says, what other Rishonim say, what this issue is. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum is Arei Tepak Nusug, Arei Tepak Le'ogocha. The word Le'ogocha means, obviously war. Okay, there is a war, Le'ogocha. It's very interesting that the word, the Targum for Milchama means Le'ogocha. Why? This is a word that's used by an animal. Ki yigach ish shorei'ehu. Ki yigach, to gore, as an Al Gore presidential election. Right? What's he running for these days, Al Gore? Ki yigach. How come he doesn't speak by the convention, Al Gore? Ki yigach. Yigach means to gore. That's a word that we use by animals. And here it says this word by a war from a human being. What does that come to teach you? War is a midah of an animal. It's not a civilized event. Arei tepek le'ogocha. Well, karava. Now I take that back because I didn't say it correctly. I didn't say it correctly because what I meant to say was over here. The Targumi adds a word into the pasuk. The word for war is kirava. That's war, a milchama. Who asked the Targum to add the word le'ogocha? That word is not part of the pasuk. The pasuk says ki seitse, ki are are sepoik, likara, it should say likarava, to a war, al, on, ba'ale divavach, upon your enemy. The word le'ogocha does not belong here. This is not the derech of the Targum to add words into the pasuk that do not appear. His style is to precisely translate a word in the pasuk with a unique word in Aramaic that itself provides the whole translation plus the flavor of what the pasuk is really trying to say. This is not his style to add an entire word. This is the style of the Targum Yonason to add words into the pasuk and to bring out new ideas. Yet it's fascinating that here that Unkelis does so, and what he's doing here is what Rashi is elaborating. This is a Melchemes Rishus. This is not a Melchemes, I'm going to misquote Rashi, Melchemes Mitzvah. Because if this was Stama Melchama, it would say, Sepok, you go out, Likorova, to a war, Al Baale de Vavach, on your enemy. That's what it would say. What kind of war would we then be dealing with? Any war. We're dealing with a war. The Torah doesn't tell us what kind of war. Melchemes Mitzvah, you're coming to Kan, you're coming into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is speaking to Klai Yisrael, telling them that in a short time you're going to cross the Yarden and you are going to go to war. A war of Melchemes Mitzvah, the war of Eretz Yisrael. But Rashi says, no, that's not the war we are discussing. Had that been the words discussed, then this entire parasha would not be true. There would be no such thing as Vishavisa Shivya, because the pasuk explicitly says there are no survivors. Every single last one has to be executed. So therefore, the Targum, he adds in a word to indicate that we're dealing with Melchemes Rishus. And what's the word that he adds in? Le'ogocha. The word Le'ogocha is a word that's used by animals. Ki yigach ish shor eshor re'eyu. If the animal, the ox of a man, gores the ox of his friend. Animals engage in war for no purpose, for no mitzvah, just for the sake of fighting. That's the essence of an animal. When a human being engages in war, when it's not sanctioned by the Torah as a Melchemes mitzvah, you're behaving like an animal. It means you have an animal in you that's causing you to fight. Incredible Rashi, incredible Unkelis, coming to use this. It's incredible, number one, that he adds a word into the pasuk. Number two, the word that he has selected is here to indicate fighting by human beings when it's not under the requirement of a mitzvah. You're behaving no different than an animal. Next. V'yim sirinun Hashem elokach biyadach. Hashem will deliver the enemy in your hand. Okay, that's straightforward. V'yim sirun will deliver. And now that's not so similar, I should say. Let's just go a little bit further. V'sishbei shiv yehoin, and you will take captives. Now here on the side, I didn't want to appear too much today. On the side, on the Ma'at Sari, he writes over here, Unis Sonoi. He points out that this is also not the usual translation of the Targum's choice word for the word unisonoi. The Targum throughout Chumash translates the word unisonoi, nisina unisonom, unisonom. No. Maybe I'm making a mistake. No, I'm making a mistake over here. Okay, the focus over here is, all right, I'm not really prepared for this. So let's just put that aside for now. Let's go Pasuk Gidalef. Pasuk Gidalef, Risa Bashivya, you'll see among the captives, Eshes Yifasa, you'll see among the captives a woman, an Eshes. Eshes has a connotation of an Eshes is a married woman, Yifas Toyar, beautiful in toyar, in form. Okay? There are different words that the Torah uses to describe a beauty. It says by Rachel, it says Yifas Mare, by Sora. Look at all the different ways the Torah describes beautiful women. By Avraham Avinu, it says Ato Yodatiki Isha Yifas Mare Ot. Yifas Mare, beautiful to look at. What does it say by Rivka? Yifas, Rivka was Yifas Toyak, I don't remember the Ramayevsky is here. Or is he here? He's not here. But by Rivka it says another expression, and by Rachel it says a different expression. There's Yifas Toyar, and there is let me quickly run back. The Rachel Hoysa Ene the Ene Leia Rakois, the Rachel Hoysa Yifas Toyar Yifas Mare. It says both things by Rachel. Leia, it says, was Ene Rakois. Okay, which Rashi says that her eyes were tender, she cried. The Targum there says, Eini Rakos means, Yafiyos, beautiful eyes. Okay, so sometimes when the Torah describes a woman as being beautiful, it says that she had beautiful eyes. Eini Rakos. Everyone knows what Rashi says, that it means her eyes were tender because she cried. But that's not what the Targum says. The Targum says she had beautiful eyes. Rakos. That's another description of beauty in the Torah. The Rachel Hoysa, Yifas Toyar, Yifas Mare. The same thing it says about Sarah. It says about Rachel, but it says even more. It says about Rachel that she was Yifas Toyar. What is Toyar? Form. What does that mean? Are we describing the form of her body? Are we describing the form of her face? Would the Torah ever dare describe the form of the human body? Is that a proper thing to say today? By today in society, you say about a woman, she has a beautiful figure. Okay, that's what it's all about, right? A beautiful figure. Would the Torah stoop to such a low and say about a woman, she has a beautiful figure? Yifas Toyar? Is that what it means? Probably 95% of the population will tell you, yeah, that's what it means. When it says in the past that a woman, the Torah says that Rachel had Yifas Toyar, it means she's a beautiful figure. But that's not necessarily what it means. The Torah doesn't describe the body. The Torah doesn't stoop to a low and focus on the body. It may very well be that she did have what they call today a beautiful figure. But the Torah would never say that. That's not the derech of the Torah. When it says Torah means the Torah of the ponim, of the face. And because in the face lies the essence of the person's neshama. Okay, so it says by Rachel, Yifas Toyar, Yifas Mare, form and Mare. I don't really know the difference, what exactly it means. I don't think anyone knows the difference. Leia, we know, had beautiful eyes. And Rivka, it says something different. Let me just go over here back to Rivka quickly. Okay, Rivka is a Parashas Chaye Sarah. And it says by Rivka, V'hana'ara toivas mare. It doesn't say the word yifei, beautiful. It says the word toivas. Toiv, good. Mare, me'oid. A whole new word, a whole new expression. It was toivas mare. Doesn't say yifas mare. But to compensate for not saying toivas, not saying yifas, it says me'oid. Now first of all, what's a more powerful word? Toivas mare or yifas mare? I don't know. I don't know the difference, what exactly these nuances mean, but it says here the word me'oid by Rivka. So we have here many different words, and here by the Eishas yifas toyar, it describes the Yifas Toyar different than it describes anything beautiful about a Jewish woman. A Jewish woman is only described as being either Toivas Mare, Yifas Mare, or Toivas Mare Me'oid, Yifas Mare, and Yifas Toyar. But not just Yifas Toyar. When it says the words Yifas Toyar, Toyar is accompanied by Toivas Mare Me'oid. V'hanara Toivas Mare Me'oid, period. Okay. Going back to Rachel, the Enile Rakois, the Rachel Hoysa, Toivas Mare, Vifas Toyar. So when it says Yifas Toyar by Rachel, it's accompanied by Toivas Mare. And that's very, very critical. Why is that very critical? Okay, this is really, I'm going into Chumash, I'm not really going into the Targum, it's not the purpose of the Shir, because the whole procedure of what we're going to do now to this woman is we're going to make her ugly. We're going to make her into the opposite of Tovas Mare. We're going to cause her to grow long nails and to grow long hair, that the Tovas Mare should be absent. But just because you take away the Tovas Mare, you can't take away the Tovas, the Yifas Toyar. Yifas Toyar is not something you can remove from the woman. Tovas Mare is a Metzius. There's nothing you can do to take that away. What you can take away is, you can take away the Tovas Mare or the Yifas Mare. And here, we're coming over here to contrast this non-Jewish woman with a Jewish woman. This pasuk is one of the most relevant psukim today in the world for Klal Yisrael, because we're living in Galus and the intermarriage rate is 80%. Even though we're living over here in a little shtetl in New York, and we think that we're all the Jews in the world are here right here in Flatbush. This is a shek of a chazav. There are 15 million Jews out there in the country, and from those 15 million Jews, the biggest nesoyin is intermarriage. 80% failure. So you get a 20 on an exam. It's mamish what it is. You get a 20, an F minus on the exam for intermarriage. Why? Obviously, there's something very endearing that it's causing Klal Yisrael to marry out. And it has to do with the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah is telling us that this woman is a Yefas Toyar. Okay, and so the Torah says, okay, I'm not denying the fact that you may feel that this non-Jewish woman is Yefas Toyar, but is she a Yefas Mare? Is she Toyvas Mare Me'oid? That she's not. And that you're not going to get by a non-Jewish woman. And the Torah goes out of its way to tell you to take her, tie her to the doorpost, and have her sit there for a month. She won't shower. She won't do anything. She'll grow these long nails. Grow long hair. She'll be disgusting. There will be a mius, a miuskite in the mare. Even though you will not be able to take away from her the toar. And Rachel, who is described as also a yifas toar, she was also a yifas mare. Toivas mare. She had toivas mare. That you're not going to get by a non Jewish woman. That you're not going to get. So this is part of what we're trying to bring out over here. Let's go back to the pasuk. Yisrael should be eshti vastoyar v'chashak tovoyah v'cheshek for her. Okay, it says this is a very frightening term. Because the word cheshek is the term for a love for a guy. Who's the one who used the exact same term? Shechem. Shechem, Chamor, told Yaakovinu that my son Shechem, the pasuk says that the choshak ba, he had a cheshek for Yaak, for Dina. When there's a connection between a guy and a Jew, and we have a precedent, that the word cheshek is used, which is not necessarily a good thing in this kind, even though cheshek is used between our Klal Yisrael and Hashem, but when it's between two human beings, the only other place we find the word cheshek is between a Jew and a non-Jew. V'chashakta va, v'lokachta l'cha l'isha, and you will take her, v'lokachta l'cha l'isha, you will take her for a wife. Okay, let's see over here, the Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud aleph, eshes. Why does the word eshes? Afilu eshes, even a married woman. You want to go take this woman, she's married. The Torah is only coming to address a person's yetzahara. The Torah is coming to tell you to permit you to marry her. She'im ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu matira yisoena bi'isr. If Hashem does not let you marry her, you'll marry her bi'isr. Aval im nasa. But the Torah tells us a prediction. If you do go and marry her, you're going to come to hate her. Shenemar Acharav Kisyem Leish V'Soifo Lohoilid Ben Soirer Umayre V'Soifo Lohoilid Mimenu Ben Soirer Umayre L'chein Dismuchu Parshos Halalu. There's going to be the Ben Ahuva and the Ben Sunua. Okay, so it says over here, the next Parshah is Kisyem L'shtei Noshim Achas Ahuva V'Achas Sunua. So the oil doesn't talk about this. When you tell a person about what's going to happen if you marry an Asia Sifas Toyar, so they'll tell you the result is you're going to have a Ben Soirer Umayre. There's something else that's going to happen before you get to the Ben Soirer Umayre. You're going to hate the woman. People forget about that part. They forget about, they only talk about the part of the child. But it sounds almost like that they have a wonderful marriage. No, Rashi says that the reason why this parasha is mismach to kisen l'ishtei noshim, v'achas ahuva v'achas sinua, is that this woman that is one of those two wives, the wife that is sinua, that's nismach to this parasha. Okay, so two things are going to happen. Marrying this woman is going to be, she'll turn into the Isha Snua, and you'll have from her a child that's going to be an Ishas, going to be a Ben Soirer Umayre. Now let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'sichze b'shivya. You will see among the captives. Okay, that's b'ris b'shivya. It is a woman. Shapiras reif. Okay, that's a very interesting expression. A beautiful Shapiras means beautiful. Rave means a toya, a form. This sister Eba, and you will have a desire for her. That's what the chashakta ba. This sister A means like rotzain. It's the same word the Targum used to translate rotzain, desire for her. And you will then take her v'sisba loch. The word v'sisba means a wife. Okay, you'll take her a wife. L'itu as a wife. V'sisba, there are two words here which mean the same thing. V'sisba. Okay, he points out over here in this safe over here is that there appears to be repetition. Because the word v'sisba means a wife, means to marry, and itu means a woman. So the word v'lokachto doesn't mean marriage. It means to take. But it's a taking of marriage. So the truth is, he asked a question over here on the side of this page, which really say, it would have been sufficient for the Targum to say, v'sisbina, v'sasbina. Besaspina would be one expression which would incorporate both v'lokachto l'chol l'isha. Yet that's not what the Targum does. Targum is understanding, very very interesting, that v'lokachto means a maisa kiddushin. In other words, the Targum here says something very, very important. He's saying here the word v'lokachto, we've done this many, many, many times, every single word in the Torah cannot just be translated. Its translation really depends on the context. The word v'lokachto could mean you'll take for yourself a piece of earth. You'll take for yourself in your hands a piece of food. And also the word v'lokachto means you will do an act of halachic acquisition. When a person gets married, how does he get married? How does he take for himself a wife? He doesn't take, he gives. Under the chuppah, he gives a woman a tabas. He gives her kesef. And he says to her, "Hare at mekudeshesli b'tabat zo kedatz moshav Yisrael." And by him giving, and she accepts, he has thus taken for himself a wife. That's a contradiction, because the word "taking" means you acquire. The act was not through taking. The act that I have done is an act of giving. I have given a person money. By me giving her money, I have taken, but not in the physical sense of the word, I have taken in the spiritual sense of the word. There's been. What is marriage? It's a bond that cannot be defined in a legally. Cannot be defined physically. A person is married. There's something. There's an agreement. There's an acquisition. There's an acquisition that. But it's a spiritual type of acquisition. It's not a physical. You don't take a woman, put it in your pocket. So, if you learn the pasuk at face value without the targum, you would say, this man, he sings among the seas, among the captives, an eshes yifas toyar, and he has a desire for her. So v'lokachto l'chol li'isha, it means he begins the process. If you want to translate that, and this indeed, what I'm saying now, it really is machlekes in the Gemara, what exactly is the halachic process of acquiring an eshes yifas toyar? This machlekes in the Gemara, does the man marry her on the spot? Does he give her, does he have relations with her on the spot? What does it mean, v'lokachto l'chol li'isha? So some say that no, he does absolutely nothing. He doesn't touch her. He has no acquisition, no. He begins a process. A process that will result in him being fully married to her. What is the process? The next pasuk begins to describe in detail the process. He takes her to his home, he shaves her hair, and he takes off her beautiful clothing, and he ties her to the door, and she grows long nails, and she cries, and she looks ugly, v'chulu v'chulu. And then, if after 30 days he still wants to marry her, okay, now you marry her. So when it says here in this pasuk, Yayiral, v'lokach l'chol isha, it doesn't mean that you actually marry to her. It means you begin the process of acquiring her. But then there's opinion in the Gemara that says no. For lokach l'chol isha means you marry her right now. Right here and now, you take her and you bring two witnesses and you have a makeshift wedding and you give her the kedushin. I guess you make her into a gioris on the spot. You just say you have no choice, you can observe the mitzvahs, whatever, it's a hayrasha. The whole din of Eishas Yifas Torah has a unique halachas. You marry her, you are married to her right now. And in fact, he can live with her one time. And then, he continues this process, and this process will determine if he will divorce her. So there are two opinions in the Gemara as to what is the process. From the Targum, from the fact that the Targum adds in one word that could have been omitted, I'm suggesting that the Targum is taking sides with the opinion that says that he marries her right here and now. Because the Targum does not translate the word v'lokachto in the usual way, a mundane type of physical acquisition. He translates the word vilokachto with the word visisba, and visisba means to marry. And if you want to say that it's a process, and because since vilokachto l'chol li'isha, a wife, it should have said visisbato. And that one expression means he takes her, he begins the process of taking her as a wife. So either do not translate the word vilokachto with the word which means marriage. There's another word for lokicha, which is a more mundane translation, which does not mean marriage. The fact that the Targum chose to elaborate and include the word li'isha li'itu, and yet for the word of lokachti, he translated the word of sispa, which means word of marriage, indicates that the Targum holds that he marries her right here and now on the spot. Okay, next. Pasuk Yubeis. Now he takes her, he brings her to Tech Besecha, he brings her into your home. Okay, he brings her into within your home, the gilcha esra show you will shave off her hair, her head, the asasa esti parneha, the word asa means you will allow her nails to grow long. Okay, Rashi, Rashi Pasuk Yudbeis says, the also Tipornecha to Gadlem Kidesha Tisnavel. You shall allow the nails to grow long so that she should be disgusting in your eyes. Okay? Now let's look over here in Pasuk Yudbeis in the Targum. Visa'a lina legoy beisach. You will bring her into your home. V'usigalach yos resha. And you will shave off her head. V'sarbe yos tuf raho. And sari means to increase. Okay, tuf raho means her nails. Her nails will get large. So this is, you will cause her nails to get large. Okay, let's see over here. What's over here on the bottom over here? Okay, now this is a very important Rashi, because this Rashi is a machloikis in the Gemara. Okay, there's machloikis in the Gemara. What it means over here, the osos. The Gemara has two opinions. One opinion says that you actually let the nails grow long, and the other opinion, the Gemara says, you shall cut them off. Not just the opposite. Not to allow them to grow long, but to cut off her nails. So the question is, which one is it? Are we cutting off the nails, or are we allowing the nails to grow long? Now, where do you have a precedent for this? The asos es hatzua l'shloish ha'shanim. Okay, it says by the grain that Hashem will command with tzivisiyas birchasi b'shana hashishis the asos es hatzua l'shloish ha'shanim. That if a person will say in the year of Shemitah, let's say we have Shemitah, which is coming up against Yovel, we have Shemitah, not even the year of Shemitah, and a person says, Soma Bashana Hashishis, Manoichal Bashana Hashishis. If you know in advance that there's going to be a year of Shemitah, and you're going to say to yourself, so what then am I going to do in the next year? What am I going to eat? So the Pasuk says, don't worry, Hashem will take care of it. You don't do nothing. You don't worry. The asos es hatvua l'shlosh hashanim, Hashem, I will commit my blessing, and the produce will grow. So you learn from that pasuk by Shemitah, that the word asiya can mean to grow. The asos es hatvua l'shlosh hashanim, for three years. So here as well, the asos es sipornecha means you're going to allow the nails to grow very long, but in the Gemara there's another opinion that says the word v'yosas means to cut, to remove. The fact that Rashi and the Targum are on the same page, they both agree that here it means v'sarbe yos tuf raha. You will let the nails grow long. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel says v'sira, you will remove es simlash shivyom yalecha, the garments of captivity from upon her. The Yashva beveisecha, she will sit in your home. Uvachason, she will cry. As Aviv v'yas imah, her father and her mother, Yerach yamim. What is Yerach? And this is a very unusual word. If you were writing the pasuk, I guarantee you, you would say Chodesh yamim, for 1 month. All of a sudden, the pasuk is describing a month with the word Yerach. Yerach is not the word usually used to describe the month and time. Yerach is the Yerach, is the moon. Very nice. You look up into the sky, you see the Shemesh and the Yerech. But when you refer to the moon in its role as Zman, then the word you use is Chodesh. Chodesh. A Chodesh, a month, depends upon the moon. The moon has two elements. It has its reality. There is a Metzius out there. There's a rock. There's a big rock out there called the moon. And then the fact that the moon orbits around the earth in exactly 29 and a half days and a little bit more, that's called a chodesh. When we relate to the moon's function in terms of time, we use the word chodesh. So here it says the word that's not supposed to be used. If you were in a class and you use this word in the pasuk to describe 30 days, you would get an F. That's not the way you describe. It's like a broken Hebrew. A broken English, you take the wrong words and you put it in a sentence. This is a broken Hebrew to say the word Yerach Yamim. What's going on here? We'll have to see. The Achakin afterwards, Tovei Lech Uve'alta, then you will come upon her, Uve'alta, and have relations with her, V'ho Yisal L'chol Isha, and she will be for you as a wife. Didn't it say she was a wife to you before? well, this means that here you complete the marriage. Let's see. We have a very difficult old Latik with the Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel. In the Targum, in Rashi. The Heisira Lukifisha quickly, the Heisira Stimlashiv Yom Yalah, you'll take off her beautiful garments. Lifi Shehem Noim. The big day Shivya are beautiful. Why? Shanachrim, Binoisehem, Miskashtois, Bimulchama, Bishvil, Haznois, Achedim, Imohem. Okay, whole different world, a battle of warfare. Okay, in warfare today, is that how it goes in war? I don't think so. Today, different type of wars today. But in ancient times, when there was a war, that's when the non-Jewish girls would go buy beautiful clothing in order to adorn themselves and to arouse the Yetzirah in the soldiers that they should live with them. That's what they did. And that's why she's wearing beautiful clothing. Bring her to the office. Okay, which bias? Okay, I guess this was pre-Corona days, where people actually went out to the office. They didn't work from the house. When you walk in, you step on her. And when you walk out, you stumble upon her. You see her when she cries. You see when she's in a state of disgust. She should be disgusting to you. Why did the Torah demand all this long process? This is a very famous Rashi, which requires a lot of explanation. What exactly this means, it's very difficult to understand this Rashi. Why? Kidei shetehei bas yishol semecha v'zu atseva. Bas yishol miskashetes v'zo misnadeles. So that a Jewish girl should be happy and this one should be sad. A Jewish girl should be beautiful and this one should be ugly. What does that mean? What's the purpose of all this? What? Why does a bas yishol, her beauty, is only defined relative to the ugliness of this Eishes Yifas Toyar? Why is the happiness of a Bas Shol only defined relative to the sadness? I don't know the answer. It's very, very strange. Okay, but going up before, but it says she should cry. You should see her crying. Because what you cry about really defines who you are. What you cry about. When a Bas Yishol cries, it's not a beautiful thing, obviously, to see a person suffer. But what a person cries about brings out who they are. When a guy cries, it brings out who they are. Now, even though, I'll tell you, there's a drush. In the kinois of Tisha B'Av, we find that the Bas and the Ben of Rabbi Yishmael cried. They were all alone, and they were being sold as slaves. They were being, two masters acquired them. They were put into a room to marry each other. They did not know who was in the room. And they cried. That crying, although it's the pain, is unique. Yirmiyah says about this. He saw this of Ruach HaKodesh. It would be in 420 years from the time. From that time he saw this. And he says, this is an evil yechidi. A unique mourning. There's nothing like this. Yet, despite the ugliness, the pain, it was the most beautiful event in Jewish history. To watch, I mean, again, it's not nice. I don't mean it in that sense. You understand what I'm saying? But when the Ben Ubas Rabbi Yishmael cried, their cry, it defined Klal Yisrael. It was a cry that defined the very essence of who Klal Yisrael is. Each one said, "I'm the Ben of Aaron HaKohen." Is this what my tafkid is? To go marry a shiksa? And she said, "I'm the daughter of Yocheved. Is this my tafkid in life? To marry an Eved?" This cry, despite the infinite pain that it includes, it was, again, you get into a lot of trouble for saying this, especially when it's recorded, but it was beautiful. It was incredibly beautiful. It defined who Klal Yisrael is. When a goy, a shiksa, cries, it's not so beautiful. When she's crying, probably all the nivel peh and all of avodah zarah and all of the biggest garbage comes out when she cries. Her crying is disgusting, and it wakens up Klal Yisrael. It's like it contrasts between Klal Yisrael when they cry versus when the Ummah Sa'ilim, when they cry, the contrast cannot be greater. All right, we have to do more after the Targum. We shall do Targum tomorrow. We're out of time. Have a wonderful night. Thank you very much for joining me. All the best to all of you. So, Meir, you managed to accomplish such great things, Meir. You can't imagine.
I can't hear you.
You accomplished such great things. I knew where to go.
Yeah.
You'll be proud of me.
I didn't go.
You know what I did?
You wouldn't have gone if I went.
I would never have gone had you not taken me all those times, all those years. I never would have gone.
But how come Aliza decided to go?
I don't know. She decided to go. I don't know. And my sister happened, Hashkocha Pratis, my sister from Boston happened to be here. They came in for the day. They came in to bring my nephew to yeshiva in Queens. And they came in.
And they took him along.
And they came to go visit my brother-in-law's parents in Great Neck. And they were coming in for the day to accomplish these two things. And they said, you know what? Let's all meet up at the cemetery.
Okay. Was the stone still there?
All the stones were still there. All those massive rocks that you stole from other people's kvarim. They're all still there.
Uh-huh.
And guess what I did because of you? Guess what I did because what? Only because you taught me. I brought candles. I lit candles.
Right? Oh boy,
You see what you accomplished? You see? And I parked.
Yeah.
I parked in the spot that you told me to park. And you told me how to park. You showed me exactly what to do, how to park. So everything that I did yesterday was only...
What, by the tree? Under the tree over there?
Yeah. Every single thing that I did was only from your training.
Did you show them the Matseva for the guy who saved three kids drowning?
No, I didn't. I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. I was mispal for Tamari.
Since
only your schuss. So you see,
get your grandmother to be.
You see your schuss? My grandmother, she owes you. She owes you big time.
Anyway, I was going to go. You know the story of Tamari and what's his name? Amnon. So I saw somewhere that there's a Gemara Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph.